Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck, live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, on the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Welcome back in for a shortened version of Locked On Bulls today, as we wanted to give you guys a little bit of a recap of last night's game. And Matt, if you caught the entirety of that game, that was probably not what you would consider the best basketball game of the year, but the Bulls were able to pull out the win against the Knicks at home. Not really surprising if you look at some of those stats.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily pretty basketball, as you said, Jordan. And I mean, to me, the story of this game is the Bulls were down early. They were down big early. I think they were trailing by as many as 15 points in the first half. They closed the second quarter strong and then really responded. They clamped down defensively in the second half, held the Knicks to just 14 points in the fourth quarter. I'm pretty sure the Knicks only put 1 point on the board in the final, like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes of the game. When the Bulls were able to get, I think it was Markkanen with that great lead pass from Dunn for the go-ahead dunk to sort of put the Bulls in the driver's seat, and then Dunn iced the game with a couple of late free throws. This was another example of this young, inexperienced Bulls team slowly figuring out how to win close games, games where they need to come back from behind, games where they need to close the door on their opponent once they have that lead late in the fourth quarter. And really, on this night, they did it without, for the most part, the services of the insanely popular now Nico Mirotić. A really quiet night for Nico. Just 4 points, only took 4 shots. He did pull down 8 boards, but I mean, this was the young Bulls getting this win. It's not like the Knicks are a very intimidating opponent. They, that was their third straight loss. They've been looking worse for the wear recently, but still a team that has a better record than the Bulls and was in the driver's seat for most of the game. The young Bulls find a way to pull it out.
Yeah, I think last night, in terms of one thing that I thought I have to give a lot of credit to, is to Lauri Markkanen. What he was asked to do last night and having to guard probably one of the top 10, 15 best players in the league, Kristaps Porzingis. Him being able to clamp down and making pretty much Kristaps work for every bucket that he got last night, I thought that's a testament to not only what Lauri Markkanen maybe surprised a lot of Bulls fans with, but also maybe some of the growth and development that we've seen from Lauri Markkanen. Because the biggest knock on Lauri, I think, coming out of the draft and was kind of wide known, is that people weren't sure if he could play defense in the NBA, right? He was a slow-moving guy, somebody that maybe didn't have the footwork that many of the scouts said, yeah, I don't see him being anywhere near an elite level defender. And I think it's way too early to say that, but the improvements are clearly there, and he's making guys struggle underneath in terms of guarding, and he's pressing guys. And I think that's really, really great to see, even though the offense hasn't been there, especially over the last few weeks.
Yeah. I think people were really worried about Markkanen's footwork on the defensive side when he was coming into the draft, and that was a big knock on him. And I think maybe the Bulls front office and their scouting team are more clever than we give them credit for. Maybe they just got lucky and Markkanen just has made great strides, or maybe didn't show his best defensive stuff in his 1 year at Zona or at the combine. But I mean, you look at his box score, and Markkanen didn't have like a huge night offensively, had just 12 points on 5 of 15 shooting, only 2 of 8 from downtown. But his plus 15 was the best of any Bull that played in this game against the Knicks. That's a pretty direct arrow to what he was able to do on the defensive side, as you said, going up against a very difficult and multi-talented Kristaps Porzingis. So I've definitely been pleasantly surprised by what Markkanen has been able to do on the defensive end so far. And as he continues to work on his body and building and sort of, you know, forming out his NBA frame, you know, he came in pretty scrawny as a rookie. It seems like he's already put a little bit of muscle on his upper body and his arms since he's come into the NBA, and hopefully he can continue to build upon that so he can, you know, bang down low with some of those more challenging bodies. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis is a force, an offensive force, but he doesn't present the same challenges as, say, a DeMarcus Cousins or an Anthony Davis, somebody who has, you know, the brute strength down there, which is a different defensive challenge. But thus far, and last night against the Knicks, really impressive stuff defensively from the rookie.
Yeah, and I think people need to focus a little bit more on that and just his overall development as a player rather than just purely focusing on his offense, because we get it. You know, he had the back spasms. He was out for a few games. He wasn't necessarily stringing together the offensive games that he was early on in the season. And I think for people who don't understand it, it's just like teams are now game planning for Lauri Markkanen. They're game planning for the rookie. And I honestly think that's helped Chris Dunn out a lot too. And I think it's helped a couple other players kind of prosper in terms of offense when teams are looking to double team Lauri Markkanen when he's open at three or when he's trying to drive to the basket. There's things that teams are doing now that they weren't doing before that are clamping down on Lauri Markkanen and make him take more contested shots. And then now that's what I'm kind of interested over the next few weeks to see how teams start to game plan for guys like Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn has been a really nice offensive piece over the last 4 weeks. And we've talked about this, especially through the win streak. And I think it's only going to get better once you find somebody to be actually to be able to play pick and roll, because I feel like in the NBA, modern NBA right now, it's pick and roll is essential to any team that wants to have success. And if you can get a guy maybe like Lauri Markkanen, or even when I was talking about Zach LaVine returning and how he plays in pick and roll, or how he played in pick and roll with Karl Anthony Towns when he was with the Timberwolves, I think these are things that they're going to have to work on. And I think there'll be things that Lauri Markkanen maybe can learn from other guys surrounding him. And I'm looking at the four players that could play in pick and roll down low for the Bulls. You got Robin Lopez, Nico Mirotic, Bobby Portis, and Lauri Markkanen. I don't necessarily think any of those guys are elite level pick and roll players, but I think that's something you can develop with guys like Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen. I think it'll open up a ton more shots for Lauri Markkanen. Now that's easier said than done, but it's something that I think we can look to improve. And maybe if there is some strides taken there, it'll open some things up for Lauri Markkanen offensively. And let's also not knock the availability of Zach LaVine coming back and opening up maybe more potential opportunities for Lauri Markkanen to find his stroke.
Yeah, I think that'll definitely be key. And I mean, you mentioned two of those guys who the Bulls can use in the pick and roll right now, Lopez and Nico. I mean, both or one of those guys might be gone. You know, we got another report. I think it was part of Casey Johnson's recap after this Bulls-Knicks game saying, yeah, I mean, according to my sources, that the Bulls are definitely still exploring trade possibilities for both Lopez and Nico. So as well as Nico's been playing and as valuable a center as Lopez is, if they generate some interest for either of those guys and are able to make a trade for at least one of them, you know, Markkanen can become the guy who sees even more of those type of looks. And over the course of the second half of the season, hopefully Bulls fans will be able to see more of his, you know, his offensive arsenal and what he can do in finding shots all over the court, because that's something that Fred Hoiberg says is a priority for this team right now, is, you know, not just having Markkanen chucking up threes every night, but finding him different and new and creative ways to score from all over the court. That's got to be a big thing for the Bulls. And you know, and if they trade one of those two other bigs, Nico or Lopez, look for Markkanen to get a lot more attention when plays are being drawn up for him.
All right, so interesting enough about Chris Dunn, I've got a little bit of a stat for you here from a Chicago Bull that this might surprise you in terms of Chris Dunn. So there's only been five guys in the NBA who have scored 15 or more points, 5 or more rebounds, 5 or more assists, and 3 or more steals in 3 games in the NBA so far this season. Those names, LeBron James, Kevin Durant.
They're led by Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMarcus Cousins, and Chris Dunn. So that's pretty cool company for Chris Dunn to be in, especially early on. And I know we've seen, there's been like a dramatic shift from Chris Dunn, what we saw in the first 15, 20 games and up until this point, like going around Thanksgiving time. And then soon after that, I feel like there's been this upgrade for Chris Dunn, but pretty cool company for Chris Dunn, for a young Chris Dunn to be in that type of conversation with those elite players. So I've got to ask you this question. Has your thoughts, has your opinions about the Butler trade in terms of when John Paxson and Gar Forman pitched us the idea that they were getting a number 5 pick from last year's draft, taking everything into consideration about that trade, does it feel more like Chris Dunn is playing like a top 5 pick, and he could that timeline all of a sudden be shifting from a struggling, maybe a bust top 5 pick to now getting back to what maybe the Bulls and the Timberwolves thought when they drafted him?
The more we see from Chris Dunn, the more I'm convinced that he is worthy of all that hype he got as a top 5 pick in the 2016 draft. And we talked a little bit in yesterday's episode about, you know, the transition he made and how, you know, sometimes a rookie season, whether it's your coach Tibbs not playing you or for whatever reason, you just need that room to grow and the opportunities to present themselves to seize those opportunities. And we're seeing Chris Dunn do that. As far as, you know, looking at the Butler trade in hindsight, I was okay with the trade and the pieces the Bulls got in return when it happened. And based on Dunn's play recently, I am absolutely more happy about it than I was when it happened, because I was a little bit skeptical about Dunn's, you know, quote unquote bust of a rookie season. But, you know, you just mentioned some of the elite company he shared with that other with those stats you rattled off. Another one from their win in Milwaukee earlier this week on Tuesday, when he put up 20 points, 12 boards, 4 steals, 2 blocks. Only other Chicago Bull in history to put up a stat line equivalent to that or better, Michael Jordan. So, I mean, there's another one. I think we're seeing that Dunn does have a much higher ceiling than we were maybe scared of, the low ceiling after that rookie year. And look, he still has a lot of room to grow and areas where he needs to improve. His free throw rate has to get better. His finishing rate at the rim has to get better. You know, those are the first two that jump out at you. And when he does get to the free throw line, he's got to get better at making his free throws. He's only shooting like 67% from the line when he does get there. So, like, those are things that a point guard can certainly work on in his own time in the offseason and continue to improve his game. But the athletic ability and the confidence and his playmaking as, you know, a guy to find his teammates open shots and create open shots for himself, you know, those are coming along, and I feel a hell of a lot better about the Butler trade because of it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on all of those takes. And like, people are now taking Chris Dunn's confidence, his shape in this sort of upgrade we've seen, especially over the last 4-6 weeks. They're kind of putting it, and we talked about it even yesterday, is they're putting it on more on Tom Thibodeau and asking and kind of questioning if he really knows what he's getting, if he's a guy that can evaluate talent and be able to develop that talent. And I think missing on one guy, or a guy not fitting in your system the way he did up in Minnesota. And Chris Dunn's even talked about it. He said he struggled a lot. He didn't like where he fit. He said he didn't think he got along, that he wasn't a piece, and he was really down on himself. And so I would be quick to say that Tom Thibodeau is a guy that doesn't know how to evaluate talent. And I think anybody else who thinks that, just because maybe Chris Dunn didn't fit in Minnesota, I mean, you can still look at guys like Jimmy Butler, and it's the way that they're wanted to coach, and it's two different types of coaching styles. I look at Jimmy Butler, and Tom Thibodeau got the best out of Jimmy Butler because he was screaming and yelling and red-faced 98% of the time during games, and that's what Butler needed in order to succeed. You can see that with other guys like Chris Dunn, that's not what they need to succeed. It actually does the opposite effect. And so maybe Fred Hoiberg, just maybe, Fred Hoiberg is the guy Chris Dunn needs in order to be that guy, be that top 5 pick, to sort of shift his timeline in terms of an NBA player or even an NBA up-and-coming star.
Before we get out of here, I know Jordan and I, we're going to give our listeners a quick tankathon update. You know, I've got some stats from Luka Doncic's most recent performance, and we'll take a look at where the Bulls sit in the NBA league standings right here in a minute. But before we do that, I want to tell our listeners about MyBookie. Bull season is here, and that means it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for your payout after a win? Sign up at MyBookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all of your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the bowl games, you got to go to MyBookie.ag. They're the only site I recommend. They got odds on every matchup as well as in-game live betting on all of this season's remaining NFL games and college bowl games. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Just use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. You play, you win, you get paid. It really is that simple. Visit MyBookie.ag today.
So before we get out of here, let's do a little bit of an update for those who don't pay a whole lot of attention to college basketball, other than maybe whatever's coming across your timeline on Twitter, whatever you see on Facebook, which is probably heavily influenced by the up-and-coming point guard that we had talked about extensively on our mailbag yesterday about Trae Young. But I want to get to a couple other people and also sort of a couple early mock drafts. We're heading into the new year, so I feel like it's a little bit more important now to kind of see where some other people have the Bulls pegged, at least at this point, and kind of get an interest to see who they're looking at picking. So I've got one from here from Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report just released today their NBA mock draft before the new year. And so I'm always interested and I always take it with a grain of salt as well. It's just one person's opinion and you can look at a million different draft boards and see a million different results. So it's really more so just about why they picked that person, why they think that they fit there, and ultimately just kind of feeling out what team's needs are. So the Bulls currently right now, if the season would end today, if it was just going off pure record standpoint, the Bulls would have the sixth pick in the NBA draft. And Bleacher Report right now has them picking Mohamed Bamba from Texas, the center from Texas, who I said I raved and I was a big fan of early on in the season. And I even brought him up a couple times during November when he had a monstrous dunk where I talked about how his hand looked like it was over the backboard when he was going to dunk the ball. But a little tidbit about what they say for Chicago and why Mohamed Bamba fits. So they say the Chicago Bulls keep winning and hurting their chances of landing a top five pick. They can still land their next franchise center at number six with Lauri Markkanen bringing the offense at power forward. Mohamed Bamba would back him up defensively at the number five. He's coming off his most impressive effort of the year in a heavily scouted matchup against Alabama, having racked up 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 blocks. Bamba has shown he can impact a game's result without making many skill plays. His defensive presence changes the way opponents look to attack. Despite his underwhelming offensive numbers, 15.5 points per 40 minutes, and a percentage of 50% overall, 61% from the free throw line, and 15.8% from deep, he's still an enormous finishing target and cleanup man inside. Though his jumpers aren't falling, Bamba's sound mechanics suggest he can eventually become a spot-up shooting threat. So give me your take after hearing that. What do you think about Mohamed Bamba and his fit?
Look, I think he's definitely an interesting prospect, and I think he'll, you know, from what I've seen, he's got the talent and the athleticism needed to be an NBA player. I just think his offensive upside from what I've seen is pretty low. I mean, I think he can certainly be a defensive force in the NBA, and you know, maybe he can continue to work on the offensive skill set. As you mentioned, you know, it's not like he has like a great, you know, he's not a great tactical offensive player at this point. And, you know, neither was Joakim Noah. And for a couple of years of his prime there, Joakim, you know, with his passing and his ability to finish, became a more useful offensive player. Look at Taj Gibson. First seen as a defensive big, a defensive specialist who now, you know, his last couple of years in Chicago and now in Minnesota is providing lots of help on the offensive end as well. So like those defense first bigs certainly can develop if they put in the work. For me right now, Mo Bamba is, you know, I'm not convinced yet that he can be one of those guys on the offensive end. So I will counter by saying,
I got to ask you real quick. So is your mindset in terms of what the Bulls should be drafting in as far as need? I know you said for the most part, the Bulls usually draft for best available instead of need. And in this, the Bulls are in a unique spot, I think, here. And a lot of it determines whether or not they get a top five draft pick. Do you think so? Are you not buying into the idea that pairing another guy like DeAndre Ayton or Mohamed Bamba or another big time center that can maybe play that smaller ball, that quick, fast pace like Fred Hoiberg wants? Are you in the mindset that the Bulls still either need to take another guard or another forward that can bring you that offensive firepower rather than maybe a defensive stopper that can help out Lauri Markkanen and open things up?
I mean, personally, I think, you know, a guard forward. I think the way that the NBA is trending, those players are more valuable. You know, it's not a league that's dominated by names like Shaq and David Robinson anymore. It's a league dominated by names like Steph Curry and James Harden. And, you know, obviously, you know, LeBron, but he is a physical specimen all to himself because he can play all five positions at 6'8". So, I mean, I think where the Bulls are and what they need, I would be much happier taking a combo guard forward than a guy like Mo Bamba, who to me is a big with limited upside as far as what I've seen from his skill set thus far.
Yeah, I'm still in the camp, so I'm opposite of you. I think in terms of if you've got guys, especially if you're going to sign Zach LaVine to a long-term deal, close to a max deal in the offseason, plus you pair him with a guy like Chris Dunn, and then you've got Lauri Markkanen, and if depending on the Bulls' plans to move Robin Lopez or not, and then move Nico or not, I think this opens up opportunity to pair him with a young budding star like Mohamed Bamba. And for me, I understand that the way the league's going is shorter, faster, guys who are athletic that can play pace and space. It's a smaller ball lineup now. But dude, a guy that's 7'2 with a wingspan of 7'9, I'll take that any day of the week, especially if the Bulls do end up somewhere around 6 and guys like Michael Porter Jr., Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley, these guys are off the board already. I think it's a legit thing to take a chance on.
Yeah, I mean, right. I would say, you know, I'm not turning my nose up at him completely. You know, it'll depend on who's available. You know, if I deem him to be the best value for the Bulls, where they end up picking, then yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with them taking him. But, you know, there are other guys that are on my wish list ahead of him, absolutely. And I mean, you mentioned it, the whole hashtag lose for Luka thing. I know a lot of Bulls fans have their skepticism about Euro guys, and Nico is for the first time looking useful, and Paul Zipser has regressed. But just so you know, his last performance, 20, 10 dimes and 8 boards for Luka, as Madrid played the defending EuroLeague champs, got to the free throw line 12 times. That's the one thing the Bulls starting point guard right now, Chris Dunn, isn't really all that skilled at. I am still, the more I watch Luka, the more I love him. And the Bulls are looking like they're winning too many games to have a shot, but who knows? Maybe the ping pong balls fall in their favor. Bulls fans should keep watching Luka. If you haven't started watching Luka, find a way to watch some of those Real Madrid EuroLeague games because the kid is special.
Yeah, there's a handful of people on Twitter that exclusively follow the EuroLeague, and I suggest going to follow them. Even just typing his name on Twitter or in Google, you'll be able to pull up a plethora of highlight videos and current highlights from over there. And I'm pretty sure if you dig hard enough, you can find live streams of the games if you actually want to watch that, if you're interested into something like that. But I think that ultimately when we talk about where the Bulls are going to draft and giving these updates, it's sort of difficult. And we've got to kind of broaden our horizons now, especially with this Bulls winning streak, not really knowing where this team goes from here, especially with pieces that they might or might not move. Plus adding Zach LaVine back, I think as a Bulls fan, like you had said, we could have the chance of getting a number one pick and fall as the seventh or eighth worst record team in the NBA. Like, that could happen. It still could happen. We got Derrick Rose on a 1.6% chance of landing the number one pick. So it can happen still, but I think broadening our horizons as we go forward until the Bulls continue to take that step back, we see them lose a lot of games. I think here on Locked On Bulls, we're going to have to open up our horizons to a few other guys. Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck. Find us on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time, 100% free, dashradio.com, the Dash Radio app, 24/7, 365 days, commercial-free, all basketball talk on the Nothing But Net channel. We'll be back tomorrow with a special episode as we head into the new year, our final show of 2017. We're going to look at some of the best takes Matt and I had over the course of this year, as well as some of the worst takes of the year that we have that you guys can roast us for. And we kind of want to take a look at the Bulls as a year as a whole in 2017 with the two parts of the season and kind of wrapping up some of the best and worst things that happened there. It's going to be a packed episode, and I'm excited for it tomorrow. But for Jordan and Matt, we are out. We'll see you tomorrow.